podcast number 7 with Heartbeats, Coach Victoria Stillmace Warrior with the art on Stillmace Trading podcast. I'm so super happy to be here with you again. It's always just amazing to know that it's still going on and that there's still so many more guests to have on and that we might not ever run out. So who knows how long this is going to go on, but I'm just always really excited to be sharing with you, you know, to be sharing guests with you from the Mace community. Really awesome ones. And today we have Heartbeats, also known as the Flowing Dutchman. And there's a story behind that. There's also the story behind who or how the Heartbeats came along. So I'm going to save that for the podcast while you're listening. But this guy is completely just so interesting. He's an adventurer. He's he has similarities with me, which I absolutely like. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to have him on here. He became obsessed with the Still Mace, but instead of starting a podcast, he went around the world, and he went to all kinds of parts in India and I'm sure to other places. If you go check out his Instagram, which I totally recommend because he also has his Flow Fridays, which is super awesome. You can try out one of his flows every Friday if you're on his Instagram, so make sure you follow him. I haven't tried one, but I'm so going to try one soon, and because I'm always feeling inspired by this guy. So if you really want to feel inspired, watch Heartbeats. He also has a lot of events coming up, which he, you know, again, you might want to follow him if you're looking to train with someone who's really, really, really awesome and legit and who has experience. And again, this guy has traveled everywhere to learn more about the Still Mace. And honestly, he's a really great guy. And I had a really nice conversation with him. I can't say anything else other than that. So I hope you enjoy this podcast as much as I did. Make sure that if you can support this podcast by purchasing a t-shirt, the most popular one is The Mace Chose Me, but you can also get this one. Wait, hold on. So if you're watching it on YouTube, you will see the video and you will see the t-shirt. But if you're listening to it through your podcast app, I'm sorry. It's a cool spirit animal design, black jaguar. But anyways, so I also just released the Mace Wars t-shirt, which is inspired by Star Wars, because who hasn't been called a Jedi when they're swinging the mace? Everyone that I know has compared me. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of popular in Yuma, Star Wars is, so maybe that's why. But yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone's been called a Jedi if you swing a mace. I mean, it looks very samurai, really. Lightsaber, you know. Anyways, big shout out to podcast partner for the entire year, which is Adix Clubs and Maces, the only adjustable club and mace on the market. I can't recommend this product. I just can't recommend it more. It's an awesome product. If you are looking to have an adjustable mace that can go from like 7 pounds, I think up to 30 pounds. So it's really cool. It just like screws on, unscrews. Anyways, there's going to be a link below for the online store. And there's also going to be a link for Adix Clubs and Maces if you want to check them out. Podcast partner is just a supporter. Lets me use their, slap their logo on here so I look more legit. I do not get any money from them. I totally just have them on here to support one another. That's what it's all about in this Mace community, supporting one another. And by the way, there still is room for monthly podcast partners. So if you are in any way or form involved with the Mace community and you want to be the monthly podcast partner, please do so. And second, if you guys have questions for the podcast guests at any time, please email me, Instagram me, Facebook me, whatever method you have. Make sure you reach out whenever I post the guests for the month. You've got questions for them, I'll ask them for you. If not, I'll keep asking them for you. It's no biggity. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for all the support so far. And I can't wait for you to listen to this podcast episode. What's up, Stillmace Warriors? Here we are again with an episode. And actually, I lost count. I don't know what episode I'm on anymore. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But today I'm so excited because we have AKA, is it functional heartbeats or is it just heartbeats? What do you go by? Either.
Whatever you want. You know, the company is Functional Heartbeats, but if you call me Heartbeats, the Beats, Harbert, whatever.
Okay, awesome. Okay. And they call you the Flowing Dutchman. Like, what's the story behind that? I just want to know real quick.
Well, you know, the Flying Dutchman is like a very popular saying for Dutch people, right?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's like the Flying Dutchman.
I've never heard of that. Is that weird?
Oh, you like, never heard of it? No, yeah, yeah. It's real. Like, I'm not even sure. I'm now thinking, like, where did it came from? But, no, that's the way. Like, people thinking about Dutchmen, they say, oh, the Flying Dutchman. It's like... Yeah. Maybe it's because of all the trips the Netherlands made to all the other countries that they call them Flying Dutchmen. Something like that. I'm not really sure. So that's why somebody said, you know, flowing Flying Dutchmen. And then I was like, Flowing Dutchmen. Interesting.
Yeah, it went well, right? You're like, I can go with that.
Yeah.
Right on. So
that's kind of...
So a lot of people, I mean, I'm assuming like, I mean, they know about you, but for those who don't know about you, like, I mean, I know about you, but I don't really know like the story behind your, like, you know, everything you do. So I'm so interested in like where you got started with fitness. I don't know where you want to start in your lifetime, you know, but you guys, do you want to share that with us?
Sure. Okay. So, my fitness started like when I was really young. I did a few things, football. I played table tennis. I did Krav Maga, which is like a martial art, like Israeli martial art. And then I went to the university and I got into a rowing club, like a university club, you know, like Oxford but then in Amsterdam. And so got into that really, really heavy, and then started to coach people in the rowing club. And then did that for about 4 years. And then, you know, I graduated my bachelor's and I was like, yeah, not really into the university thing and not really into my studies. But I graduated, but I was like, I have to do something else. So I was always training myself. And then I just came up with the idea to just, you know, it was always in my head, you know, I have to do something with coaching because I was a guitar teacher before.
I play guitar, right on.
Oh, let's do a lesson after this.
Yes. Awesome.
It's been a while. So I enjoyed that very much. So it was like, yeah, I have to do something with coaching. And I was like training every day after I quit, training every day for rowing. I just went on strength training and do bodybuilding kind of thing, and got enrolled into like more functional training, functional fitness. So I did like a strength trainer certification, and I started, you know, to train people. And then I got really into the functional training, and then somebody just said, "Yeah, man, start your own company." I was like, "Whoa, what? My own company."
Like you were a little fearful. Like, I think everyone like feels a little fearful when they're like,
Yeah. Well, especially because I did business administration. So I was like, that's kind of strange, you know, for somebody who just did business administration to start his own company in personal training, you know, or group training. So, I just had the idea of calling it like Heartbeats. Because when I went to Asia, somebody couldn't say my name. It's like Harbert, and they couldn't pronounce it. So they said, "Oh, it looks like heartbeat, like this."
Aww.
And so I just called myself Heartbeat like the whole trip. And I was like, "Yeah, I have to do something with heartbeats." You know, that heartbeat sounds cool.
It's so awesome how things just happen, huh? Like you don't even have to push it. It just happened.
It was kind of, yeah. I was just searching for something to combine it with because I felt like Heartbeats alone is like, well, what's that? That's my name.
Right.
So, I was very into functional training, and I...
Now, when you say functional training, like at this point, you're not using the mace yet, right? You're like, what's the modalities?
Yeah, so I had like a rib trainer. I did like kettlebell training and yeah, what else? I did some cool body weight stuff, and then I purchased like a club bell. I had a my first club bell was like 15 kg, like kilograms, so that's like 33 pounds. I was like, oh man, this is very
Yeah.
heavy. But I was pretty easy to handle for me. Like I could manage particularly well, and then I started looking into like the other club bell things, and then the Maze started popping up, and I was like, oh man,
Yeah.
it looks cool.
That's so awesome. Now, okay, so did I skip something though? Like, how did you get to the Maze? Was it through, do you think it was through? Because like my story is like I got it was kind of like the kettlebell was kind of like my gateway drug to the Maze. Did something like that happen similar in your story, or is it like,
Yeah, it was a club bell.
yeah, okay, so it was the
So
actual
like a steel club. Yeah,
yeah.
like I bought like my first one was like 33 pounds, and I just did like the 360s with it, and some things, and
You got hooked.
then I just looked up on YouTube like exercises, and then the Maze started popping up, in the
Yeah.
like people using the club bell were also using the Maze. And
That's.
yeah, they also sold one in the Netherlands, so I was like, yeah, I have to get one, and I have to train people with it. Like,
Yeah.
oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Must be
So
cool.
your journey kind of started like you went online and you like watched all these videos. I think that's like the majority of us, huh? Because it's not like a very popular thing. It's just like one person posting something and then you're like, "What is that?" And then you look into it. And then that's when, right? That's I think that's where your adventure started, right?
Yeah,
The whole
exactly.
trying to
Yeah.
figure out more about the Maze, because that's kind of like
Yeah,
what happened with me.
yeah,
I was like, I gotta like talk to everyone and see what the heck, like what's up with this
yeah.
tool. So like, tell
Exactly.
me about your adventures and like what led you to like want to learn more about the Maze and stuff, because that's interesting.
Yeah, so which adventure do you mean, like particularly?
All of them, man, your whole freaking Instagram, it's
Man,
like
I have
India
so many
and
adventures.
like you've been, I feel like you've been everywhere. And then like last year you met Leo and Mr. Mason.
Oh yeah. I met so many people. No,
Yeah.
I thought you were still talking about, the beginning phase of it. Yeah, so I think what you mentioned is kind of the way like everybody started, especially now in the beginning, because now you can actually have some certifications, and you can, be pretty well-rounded. But just looking around like certain videos and starting to see Leo pop up, starting to see Mr. Mazeman pop up, the big guys in the industry, and just when I bought my first Maze, it was like I remember I had it in my room, and my room is pretty low, but I just grabbed it out, and I was like doing my first swing, and I was like, oh, that felt really good. Like the pendulum was like, oh man, this is gonna be good. And
Well, you
then,
have a first time great story, because when I first swung up, I felt like a freaking idiot. I was like, nope, not there yet. You must have been
so
like.
I almost hit my lamp, so it was
I had
Oh
a terrible first experience with the 360.
yeah.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Terrible. I tried to swing it and it didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
Was
Very first swing, no.
like,
Yeah, I
like
felt
this.
like I was like, whoa there, no, sticking to lunges and squats for a while.
Yeah. No, true. No, but I already did some things with the club bell, and so
Right.
yeah, it went pretty easy at the
Yeah,
beginning.
that's.
So yeah, then I incorporated into my functional training way training people. So like in a boot camp and or like group training style, I have like my bike car where I put all the stuff in, and the Maze just became a part of it, and like everybody loved it, and it was like playing around with it a little bit, and I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty easy, this is pretty cool. And
Yeah.
then started to see more videos of what was possible with it, and then started to explore some movements and getting interested in it. And then yeah, and then I went the first time to India. Yeah, that's about it. So the Maze was already like a thing for me, but it wasn't only the mace. So it was
right. What other stuff?
Well, like I told you, the other training, like kettlebell, yeah, I did some animal flows kind of thing, body weight kind of thing.
Yeah. So like timeline wise, how many, like, if we can put it on a time, like when did you start? Like how many years ago did you start? And like, when did that happen? The whole group classes?
I think that's about,
I mean, you've been doing this for almost a while, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, relatively. Like 2.5 years.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. You look like you've been doing it for like 10 years.
No.
It looks good. Your mace stuff. I'm making you think right now.
No, that's actually not the case. It was 2.5 years I started the company, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And that's about the same time I bought, you know, the first mace and got into it. Yeah.
You know how they say people aren't born with certain abilities? You must have been born with the ability to, like, mace.
I'm very flattered.
No, that happened really fast. Yeah,
I'm really flattered.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, a lot of people in the mace community, they're pretty new to it, you know? I'm even, there are not too many people that are like they started like later or earlier.
Right.
Yeah. After that, you know, after like 1 year ago, a lot of people started, and now it's even bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and I've talked about that before on the podcast, where I'm like, I wonder if it's like us, because we're so consumed with like being in the mace community, and like we're always thinking about the mace. Like, I'm really wondering how many people actually know about the mace, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, I'm thinking everyone knows about it, and then everyone's like, I don't know what a mace is. What are you talking about?
No, I'm like a very weird guy here in Amsterdam, and Amsterdam is like very weird compared to the rest of Netherlands or Holland, however you want to call it. And I'm a kind of a weird guy, because I'm like swinging around with the mace and walking around in the supermarket with it and taking it like all places. And everybody's like, even in the, I'm taking it in the train, you know, I'm just walking around with it in the train, and everybody's like looking like, you gonna smash that window over there?
Yeah, that's the same.
What is he going to do with that?
Yes, that's the same reaction I get, especially when I'm at the park. Like, I'll go through, you know, like, because we have this like beautiful park over here, and it's like, it's very, there's trees and it's like nature. And I'm like walking through there with this mace, and everyone's like just, you know, going for a casual walk, and they look at me like, what is she doing with that thing?
Yeah.
Is she about to go like kill some trees?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Coach RT3, like Rich, told me that he even got like almost arrested for it. Like people, like the policeman got like involved in it. I think you mentioned that.
Wow. Yeah, that's terrible. that's
a possibility.
I've had someone locally ask me, can you walk around with that thing? Is it like legal? Can you like, or is it considered a weapon? And I've never thought of that before. I'm like, I don't know. That's a good question. Should I be walking around with my mace then? Because I don't want to get arrested.
Yeah, but I always tell people, like, you're more, you'd be more violent, or you'd be more dangerous with, like, a wooden stick, because you can hurt people, like, way faster. That's the one thing I learned in India, but we'll come to that later.
Right.
Because the mace is so heavy, and you cannot really hit somebody. Like, I could hit somebody with a 4 kilogram. But for you, it would be a lot harder, because, you know, it's just heavy.
Heavy.
If you hold it at the end, like, it would be, like, the most, if you really want to smash somebody, like, that's the trick, you just hold it close to the head of the mace, and then, boom.
Right. Like,
yeah, you'd be much more effective. Yeah, I'm not saying you should do that, it's just like.
I was going to say this, I was like, if someone's listening to this, you just do that. Don't do that.
It was not an advice, you know.
Not at all. Oh my goodness. I was gonna say something that just left my mind.
No problem.
But okay. So let's talk about the trips. Can we talk about the trips? Because I'm so, or do you have more to say? I'm all skipping everywhere.
No. I think next part on my journey was my first trip to India. Like I went to Nepal and India with my girlfriend, and like the idea wasn't even to go after the maize. It was just we went for 3 months,
Oh.
and she wanted to go to Nepal, and I was like, yeah, but India is pretty close, so we could also go to India. And then she was like, oh yeah, that could be cool, that could be cool. And in the back of my mind, I had like the idea, like, yeah, the maize comes from, you know, the Gada. You know, I saw Paul Wolkowinski's videos on YouTube before, and it was like, it would be pretty cool if we could see a little bit of that, you know. So I did that, and like sometimes in the morning when she was still sleeping, I went to the, like at 6, I went to the Akhara, like a traditional Indian gym, and I did some shooting and some filming, and but that was like a minority thing back at the time. It was not like primary for that reason. Yeah, after I came back to India, yeah, that's where the Friday flow started.
Yeah, which I'm like in love with. Which I have a
Thank you.
question for that later.
All
But
right,
yeah, I
right.
love how you release those videos. They're I would try one, but I don't know. I always tell people I pretty much suck at flow, but I eventually, you know, now that
No,
like
you don't.
I got the wooden mace now from Dr. Joe.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
that's
so I'm
on the
like, I'm gonna
flow.
try. I can try flow with this now. You know, like let's try.
No, I got a wooden mace as well, and not one of his, but I let one made let I made one, or I didn't made it myself, but somebody else made it for me. And man, you can do so much more if you have, like, if you can train with wood, it makes much things much easier.
Yeah,
Like
right, because
especially if you,
you're it's skill, right? Like you're building.
just to train your skill. And because most of the things you do with a mace, you need to have you know, good momentum. You have to have a good pendulum before you can actually utilize. If you do a sword swing, you have to have some sort of momentum to get through it. If you don't have the momentum and you get stuck, you're like, it, and the 4 kilograms becomes very, or the 5, it becomes very heavy. And then most of people, like, they try to get it, but then it just becomes too heavy, and they like throw it away.
Yeah, I mean it's funny because I can do 360s and 10-2s all day, but flow is a whole, I think a whole another like
That's
layer
like,
of like the
it's like, you do like 360, and then it's like, whoa, that's like so many things you could do. It's like,
maze.
whoa.
Yeah, I think like people always like at least like they've you know they've gone like, locally they've gone on my podcast and they've seen videos and stuff because I'm always reposting everyone and I was like it reminds me of like martial arts like they always compare it to martial arts and like the movements and stuff like that
That's
so
true.
yeah and I'm
Yeah,
always like yeah it
really.
sort of does look like that
Yeah, Leo also like mentions that he some moves he made, like the shallow and wrist control, those are like inspired by martial art as well. So I think a lot of the karate and kind of movements that you stand like this, like they kind of get into flow, you know? And even someone showed me that before, like there are like these katas, or with swords, they do like these practiced ways of moving, like full body. And you could even do that with a mace. So it has like a very potential of being like a martial art kind of training way, you know?
And I think it was a couple, it was like a month or so ago. I saw Leo doing like this like floor stuff with the mace now, or it's like almost for wrestling or something. I don't know if you saw that video. I was tripping out. I was like, man, this guy
I
can
think,
get creative with the mace. Like it's crazy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see all those things.
he's very creative. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's a good dude.
So, tell me about like your experience, like when you met, like, 'cause you went, obviously you went to Onnit, right? And then that's where you met Leo. And then you met Mr.
Yeah.
Newman as well.
Yeah, some cool stories pop up in my head right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all ears.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm
That's
ready. I'm
yeah.
ready.
So yeah, the idea behind the America trip, yeah, it came into my head because I think my brother said to me, I was like, oh yeah, in America they got like Onnit and the things, and I wasn't even. That's when I came back from the first time from India, and I think after that, well, I took it re began to take it really, really serious. So I started training like every day and really started to practice, you know, moves and try to figure out new ways of moving with it. And like in February, I think I decided I have to go to America one day. So that happened in November. And between that period, a lot happened. Like I just got way better, and like Instagram started to pop up a little bit, and I became more like, so it kind of fell all into place, you know. It's kind of strange when you set a goal or when you set something in your head, it kind of falls into place, and afterwards you're like, then I was like the first day with Leo, and I was like, huh, very cool.
Like it became real, right? Like you're just sitting there.
I manifested it and it became
Yeah.
real, and so that was really cool. So what I basically did, I went to America, and I was like, I already told Leo, like, I'm heading your way as fast as I can. So I didn't sleep for like 24 hours because my flight took a little yeah, a really long time, and I cannot sleep in like in an airplane. I just can't.
I was gonna ask
And
why? You just can't. It's
I don't
not.
know, I can meditate, you know, I have my meditation sound, so I can do it without with my eyes closed, and that helps a little bit. But and I can lay and with my eyes closed, and it makes me rest a little bit, but like my head is still, you know,
Yeah.
thinking about things. I cannot sleep in cars, you know. I have to have something like I have to lay down. I don't know what it is. It's my whole
Maybe
life.
you were just like excited.
No, it's not that. It's really, I really cannot sleep in cars as well. Like even if I'm
Oh,
really, really tired. Even if I'm
wow.
really, really tired.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so I didn't sleep for yeah a long time, and then I rented a muscle car. That was really cool, Dutch charger,
Oh,
to
in
make it all American.
America, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I just drove to Leo like the moment I got into my Airbnb. I said like, okay, see you guys later. Like me. And like 45 minutes later, I met him, and yeah, he gave me a joint. That's about it.
That's the
Yeah, that's about all I can remember from that evening, because I don't smoke regularly. So
Oh, okay. And you?
even though I'm from Amsterdam, and that's like the weed place of the whole world, but yeah, I don't smoke weed that much, and I was like, oh yeah, weed doesn't do me anything. And I was just like smoking a little bit with him, and then all of a sudden everything became blur. I couldn't think, and I'm like, I wanna have so much from this moment, please. And I just could, like, we were diving like into deep conversations. And every time you almost went to a deep conversation, I lost everything. I was like, what were we talking about? And after that, I was like, oh man, fucking weed. But
That's so funny. Oh my goodness.
yeah. And then I had to drive back as well after, like, so I didn't sleep for like 28 hours by now. And then I had to drive back, and I was still like this. So that was a strange first day in America, say the least.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. Oh my goodness. So I'm assuming that's a highlight, right? Because if you remember.
Yeah, well, the whole trip was a highlight.
Yeah.
I could have many more stories.
I can hear him all day. No, I'm just kidding. But like what was your experience like though? Like training with Leo or like training with Mr. Maceman? Like, I mean, were you like they're the top dudes, you know? Like, were you like super excited to learn from them or like what'd you learn? What'd you take away from it?
So yeah, we were just all like very quick. We were like buddies, I think.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes up good. You know, you it's a thing with Instagram, you know, you see each other like every day on Instagram. You see posts and you respond to it. So you kind of already, you kind of know each other. So when you meet in person, you just give them a big hug and then it's like, all right, what are we going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go train and let's go flow. So, yeah, the first time with Leo was really good. And, you know, he was surprised by some things he didn't see before, some moves. And I was like, he showed me some new kinds of ways and how he was constructing like the steel mesh flow certification. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. And I was like soaking in all the knowledge and like all the vibes from all the people. And then I think then there was the Mr. Maceman certification. Like that was the first certification I was going to do. So then I met Mr. Maceman, Rick. And yeah, that was also so much fun.
Yeah.
he's such a great dude.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The certification was really cool. Like I really like the traditional style and just focusing on 10-2s, on 360s, and some presses, and like there was a lot of cool people are in the certification as well. So
right.
It was a really cool day.
Now going to like India, because you went to India and you swung mace over there, right?
Yep.
And then obviously you learned some stuff over there compared to how like Mr. Maceman and Leo, like what's the comparison there? And like, is there similarities or is it different? Like, cause it's different cultures and stuff. Like how do they see it over there versus over here, you know?
Yeah. I think we take it very, very seriously. Like the technique, they're a little bit like they tend to do it everywhere a little different, even though it's and they only do a 10-2, right? So they don't know anything, they don't know anything about a 360 or anything. That's not like an Indian movement, so they only do this.
Oh wow.
They go back. That's like, and they also, they don't go as far down as most people say, like they don't go towards your belly button, but they go kind of like from the shoulder and then they go from the shoulder. And they don't, like some people really do it well behind the head, but some just don't really give a fuck and they just do it like this.
Yeah.
And they're just training their own way. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. Like I'm like very precise in technique and oh yeah, that one, you shoot your hands a little bit further back and they're like more, yeah, just swing. They're just swinging.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have like a lot of gadas, so that's really cool.
Is like the very traditional ones, right, with the bamboo
stick. It's like a bamboo stick with like cement or anything on the or a stone at the end of it, so that swings pretty good, you know.
Yeah, I've never used one. I still need to use one. I've been wanting to make one. And I think the best tutorial out there is by, I think you mentioned his name right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He has a really good tutorial on how to make one. But it looks so complicated. And I'm such a girl. And I'm like, maybe I'll have my brother do it.
I made one. It's not too complicated. You just have to sort out, you know, the cement thing. You just have to have like a bamboo stick. You put screws in the end of it, like not too big. Put them all through so that they're on both sides like this.
Yeah.
And then one more and one more. And then you basically put it in like a plastic pot or garden pot or like a glass pot. And you fill that pot with, before you put the gada in, you just fill it with cement and water, and you must make sure you don't put too much water in it, because otherwise, I did that with my first gada. I put a little bit too much water and it becomes bubbly and doesn't really. So it's not that difficult, you know. And then it dries, and you just have to pull away, you know, the
like,
pot.
And then, like crack it, right? Like
crack it. Yeah, yeah.
And then
you can swing, you know.
I feel like it's an art. I'm like, I probably would make it bubbly.
Totally. But who cares? Like, everybody who made one, probably his first one was crap, you know? It's whatever.
I'm gonna have to try one of these days, but
But you know, even I saw in India they had like one of this one, and they had like a very small one, like they made of it from cement, so it was like a baby gada. Then I
Aww.
could do some flow things with it. It was funny.
It was tiny, like how small is it?
It was like this. Yeah,
That's like satin.
no, it was a little bigger than that. Yeah, like a meter long, I think, maybe less, but it was
But
just a
you're
very
tall,
small.
aren't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty tall.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
short. That would be perfect for me.
It would
That'd be, I
be.
remember when I went to go see Mr. Maceman, he had this long ass, those evil monkey ones.
Oh yeah, I
I can't
saw
swing that. I'm short. I told him.
that
I
one.
was
I
like,
saw some videos about it, that people standing on like these boxes and they swing from the boxes, right?
Well, we didn't have a
Yeah.
box, so I was like, yeah, that's not happening,
Exactly.
Mr. Maceman.
Oh
Sorry.
yeah.
Unless you
No,
wanted to, like,
I should still swing that one.
yeah, it was
It's gonna
freaking
be very cool.
long. You didn't swing it when you went to
No,
see
he didn't
him?
brought it. He didn't brought it. Too
Oh,
bad, too bad.
it's too bad. Oh well.
We'll get
But
to it.
yeah, you'll get to it. So as a trainer, as a coach, going to like actual mace training, what are some, in your opinion, maybe some struggles or some problems that people can run into? I think you mentioned one right now, but let's say someone wants to get into flow. What are some struggles or just things that you've seen in people, like common things when they're trying to flow for the first time?
Like do when they already like know some basic stuff, or like they want to flow at the first time.
Yeah, like flow for the first time,
Yeah.
like like there's common stuff that pop up.
Yeah, like people think they can handle bigger weights.
There you go. And then
Yeah, so
they try it.
the first time you get people in, you have to crack, their ego like this thing. And then made them realize that, like for like with me, it's like a 9 pound, but like a 10 pound, 9 pound is like that's pretty heavy,
Yeah.
And one of the main things that that I see with people, especially people who have trained before, is that they approach it like it is a dumbbell, like a dumbbell. So what you do with a dumbbell is you lift it up, so you tense the muscle, you push into the weight, right? You use your muscle to pull it in the weight. And difference between a dumbbell and a mace is that to handle a mace properly, you kind of have to let it go. You
Okay.
have to fear, right? So the first thing people do when they swing is they grab it tight like this. They the biceps, the shoulders, front like this. And then they go behind the head, and then they go like over the head. And then they go back like, ooh, that's heavy, that's heavy. That's like the first reaction, right?
I call that
So,
muscling it. I always tell them, stop muscling it.
So that's a good word for it. So that's one of the first things people tend to do, because, and that is for people who have trained before, and for people who are fearful. So I see some, yeah. Most of the times, those are women that are like fearful for the mace. They also they tend to do the same thing because they don't want to hit themselves. They tighten the grip and they go far away from the head and then they go back to it. So you see, the less fearful they become, the more proper the technique will be. And that's kind of a strange thing, because the more you loosen up the grip and the more you kind of let the mace do its thing, the less dangerous it becomes. But
Right.
the moment you start to flex, and the moment you start to put too much pressure in the mace, when you start to swing, that's even more dangerous.
Right. See,
Yeah.
going back to my first swing, that was probably it. Fear.
Yeah.
For sure.
Fear.
For
Yeah.
sure.
Sure.
'Cause now I'm thinking back, 'cause you had asked me like, "Well, what did it look like?" And I'm trying to remember 'cause it's so long ago. It was probably that. It was fear. So I think you're spot on with women being a little fearful of the maze. And
Yeah,
then
well,
a little
I
far
was
away,
thinking
right?
like, yeah, does that like sound weird because they're women? No, and then I thought, no, it's most of the times women are pretty fearful for it, and then when they overcome the fear, they're pretty supple with it, you know?
Right.
And men tend to be less fearful, but then they become too muscular with it. That's kind of the thing I'm seeing like as a coach. And that tackles into, okay, look, the way people do a 360 attended to is also the way they do like more flow, because that ties into the whole concept of the mace. So if you cannot do like a proper 360, then in the right way, everything else becomes tense too, and everything else becomes either fearful or muscular.
Right. Now, okay, so you know how the kettle with the kettlebell, they say that like the kettlebell swing is like the foundational core thing that you have to learn before you move on to anything else. At least that's kind of like how I learned it. Do you think that for the mace, it would be the 360? Or because you have so many certifications. What's your idea on that?
Yeah, so for me, it is the basis of everything you do with a mace, like fundamentally. But I can also see the advantage of first letting somebody try it like it is a barbell because they're used to it.
Right.
So, you know, the switch squat or the lat squat and then the lunges and just get more used to it. So you can do quite a lot of stuff without touching like a 360 or a 10 to 2. But if you go further than that, so if you like move into the idea of flow, yeah, then
Yeah, right.
if you don't know what like how the pendulum works and how to use it, and no, then you're nowhere.
Right, you wouldn't be able to flow, right? Because I feel like
No.
you need the 360 in there, right? Because you mentioned it earlier where you need that momentum, right? Okay.
Like a continuous momentum.
Yeah. And then that's what makes it feel light, right? Once you get that flowy part of it.
Yeah, but also what I mentioned earlier, you know, it starts to become light because you use less muscles or you're less fearful.
Right.
And then it becomes lighter, and the lighter it is in a 360, the lighter it becomes in every move you do. Once you get over the fear or the muscular tension, you know.
Now, do you think the mace really like changed up your life? Do you think the mace
Oh
really,
yeah.
like, how did it impact you, like, as a person, like, as an individual?
It opened like the creative aspect in me. So as a child, I never really thought of myself as somebody who was creative. I like every time I had to do like a task on school, I kind of like tensed up and really tried to do it. You know, I tried to think and I tried to write and I tried very hard, and it was very difficult to for me to let go and open up, you know, the force in me. Kind of sounds like very weary, but to relax and let your mind just do it. I think that's what art is and what creative people do. They don't really do it by thinking about it, but they do it by opening themselves up and letting the creative spirit go through them. And for me, that's kind of what happened with the mace. So it kind of opened up like a full spectrum of like I could be creative, I could be like creating something, and yeah, so it made me very confident in that skill, and it opened it up. So now I'm also like
Awesome.
in different things, I'm like more confident in my creative ability, you know, like business wise or anything else. I can make it, you know.
That's awesome. I like how everyone has like a different relationship with the mace, like a different story behind it. Like for me,
What's your story?
it was more like a grieving tool. Like my dad had passed away,
Oh
and
yeah, I read about
it
that.
allowed me to kind of heal. So for me, it was more like a healing thing. You know, like I've always been creative. Like I can sit down, write music. I love graphic design, you know. But to hear your story, I'm like, oh, that's really freaking awesome. Like, that's awesome. So kind of, I don't know. Like we
Wow,
all have
yours is
our,
also a powerful story.
yeah.
So yeah, it's really cool to hear how it affects everyone differently, like impacts everyone really, really, really
Yeah,
differently.
it does. You kind of get a relationship with it. I think that's kind of why people name their maces, you know.
Oh, let's
It's
talk about that. Okay, no, let's start off with how many maces do you have and what are
Oh,
their
wow.
names? Should I have
How
not
many
asked
maces do I have?
that?
Yeah, it should, must be over 20 now.
Wow.
I think, yeah, all kinds
Wow.
of, yeah, because I'm training now people like an outdoor session, like I'm training people like full group training. So I'm training like with 10, like maximum 10 or 12 participants. So I had to buy like new maces, and I also have them in the gym. So, and I also have them at home because I have the heavier ones and the special ones at home. So now they're kind of like, it's getting pretty big, you know?
Yeah, what do you do with so many, right? Like I had that conversation with Kelly Manzoni. She said, I
Oh,
have
she's
so
great.
many maces. Like my husband, like it's like you need to stop buying maces. Where are you gonna
Yeah.
put them all? And like her
I
room's just
know,
full
right?
with them.
And also, I also move them a little bit sometimes in the gym, and I use them in the gym, and then I like I keep them there, and then I no, now I don't have any at home that I want to use, so I buy a new one for home. So now I'm like, I'm putting them everywhere, and they're like stacked somewhere. But if I would put them all in my house, like it would be like madness.
Okay, so maybe what I should ask is like, what's your favorite mace and then what's its name?
Oh, there's no question about it. This one. This
It
one
has it.
went to this one went with me to my second India trip, and I Leo gave it to me the first day we met.
Right on.
So it's all dense because it was on my motorbike. I went on a motorbike to India.
Oh, okay.
And I
That's
put
cool.
it like on the back of the motorbike, so that's why it all like bruised up. And its name is Leo.
Leo! That's so cool. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So there's no question about it. That's my favorite mace. And so I made all my flows in India with it because I was traveling with it. So it's kind of the and it's my only 10-pound mace. You know, we don't have a 10-pound mace here in the Netherlands, in Europe,
Oh, really?
like as
What
far as
weight
I
is it?
know, in Europe,
What weight is it out there?
it's 9 pounds
Oh,
or
okay.
13, so
Oh.
it's like 4 kilograms or 6 kilograms, and this is actually 4.5 kilograms,
Oh, wow.
so the 10 pounds, and it has quite a thick grip. You know, I like a very thick grip, and the 4 kilograms here tend to be like a smaller grip, and I don't really like the smaller grip because I like to feel my hands a little bit more.
Right,
But for
right.
women, they're great.
The thinner ones, right?
Yeah, for
Yeah.
women they're great, but I like this one very much.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. A lot of the women I train, they like them thinner. But I like my thick on it one.
I totally get it. Oh, this is
Yeah.
exactly the same one. This is the same one as an on-it one, so it's kind of
Oh, okay.
it's good. Yeah,
Yeah.
it could be a little taller for me, but you know that's the way they're made, and so.
Oh, well, that's interesting to know. Like I've heard a couple of people say that, like, oh, I can't get like on it out here because I'm from a different country. Like, is that kind of how it is out there?
Yeah, there must be a possibility to get them, but then it would be like 70 euro or something, or 80. I'm not even sure, but they will be very pricey, and
Oh, that's what it is. It's pricey as heck, huh?
very
Oh,
pricey.
okay. Yeah.
So when you know the US price, you're like, fuck, I'm paying so much more for it, right?
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I kind of have an idea, but like, what or who inspires you to mace?
What is your idea?
Hmm?
What is the idea you had in your mind?
Well, I'm just wondering, like, what inspires you? Like, what inspires you when you're like getting creative with your mace and stuff? Like, is it a what or is it a who? could be anything.
Like in my general practice.
Yeah, in your general.
Or at first. Yeah. Hmm.
Like I your say, personal practice when you're alone with your mace.
Well, a lot of people on Instagram inspire me. That helps. And then I inspire myself, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's because, cool.
Because sometimes when you like see a video back from yourself, you're like, oh, that's a cool transition. Yeah. Like when I do like my flows, and sometimes I tape them, and then I'm like seeing them, and I'm like, yeah, get that, go back to that part because I did something that I thought was really cool, but I don't know what I did.
Yeah, all right. And then you're like slow motioning, like,
and I'm like, oh, really that's slow. Not doing. Like,
yeah, see, that's the good thing about videotaping yourself, getting that that record button, being able to go back, right?
Yeah.
So going to the, okay, so now that I asked that, going to the Friday flows, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, your little flow. What do you call them, flow Fridays, or is it reverse?
Friday flow.
Do you make those up? Like, is that your thing? Like, you know how you were like, I'm, it's allowed me to get creative. Like when you release these, are those all you, or is that like, you feel me?
Yeah. Well, so you mean if I make them up all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's different. It's difficult to say that I make them all up because like, if you have like a 360, like, if you add a 360 and like I didn't make the 360.
Yeah.
So sometimes I find a new transition, I incorporate it in the Friday flow. So I either make like a transition with it or I add like a few movements to the transition. That's kind of what I do. I'd say most of them are inspired by something I made up.
Okay. Yeah, and that
sometimes
was
fun. And sometimes I get inspired by, like, I think last Friday flow, I did, like, the step from Jeffrey Ox. I think that's his name. I saw the step. So what I then do is I see the step flow, and I don't do his movement, but I just figure out, like, a way how I would incorporate it in my flow and then try to flow with it and then see, like, does this fit? And then I chunk it up, and then it's the Friday flow.
Yeah.
And then I'm also like inspired by somebody or like this.
That's what's really cool, because it sounds like everyone shares from one another, but yet you guys make something unique from it. And like, you didn't invent it. Like, I get that, but like, you guys all build your own stuff. Like, based on like who you are, right? Like, that's awesome. I've noticed that about flow. Like, everyone looks different.
That's kind of the way people tend to see like steel mace flow or flow mace flow. It's like we have some foundations, and there are some things, you know, that might be easy to you know, that everyone should be able to do.
Right.
And then they can just create their own style and their own way of moving. And now everybody has a different way of moving their upper body or lower body or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to see. But yeah, that it's, you know, even like now there are so many moves, and I almost like, I'm like, how many moves am I still going to figure out? Because, you know, there must be an end to it sometimes.
Yeah, right?
But then I figure out something new, and I'm like, whoa. Or I see somebody else figuring out something new, I'm like, whoa.
Does it ever, like, overwhelm you? Like, because there's just, like, I look at you guys, and I'm like, God, do they, like, memorize all of that? Like, because obviously there's a pattern in there, right? Like, how do you remember all of these flows? Like, it's almost like I don't know. Like, is it like a song? You guys can remember it, you know?
No, not for me. Maybe I'm not sure how everybody is in it, but
yeah.
I just I have like a stack of exercises I can do, and for me, flowing is getting out of my head, and then put on music, and then combining the different ways of moving with it. And then sometimes, you know, you find a great combination, but I don't really like, it's my personal way of flowing is I don't really like to flow like very static, very like thought out before. Like, oh, I could do this, and then I do it on the right side, and then I also do it on the left side. I'm more like when I'm in the zone, I'm kind of moving, and I don't really repeat it because that kind of fucks up my way. Kind of, because then my mind gets too involved, and I'm like, oh, fuck it.
Right. Okay. So it's that's exactly what it's flow, right? Like you're in that flow state of mind, and like you want to have that freedom to just kind of go with it.
Okay. And of course, the funny thing is you're unconscious. Like you have your conscious part that that was what I was talking about. You can think about it very conscious, and you can also think about it unconscious. And so basically what I do when I train the maze is I create consciously patterns, and I download them on my subconsciousness so that when I'm flowing, those patterns come up. So the more I do that and the more, you know, the more I create them, the better my subconscious will flow.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I freaking get it, which is weird. I get what you're saying.
Oh man, we're like leaked up now. Yeah.
So I hope the listeners get what that means. Like I hope they get it just like I did. You explained that really well. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Right on. Okay. So I mean, is there anything else we should talk about? Like, is there anything you want to say to the listeners? Anything? As you know, you have tons of fans, right? And I'm one of them.
Sorry?
I said, you know, you have tons of fans on Instagram, and I'm one of them. So.
Oh, really? That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that's so sweet. Yeah. I'm still getting used to like, the thing that's going on with the maze, you know?
Yeah. How do you feel like, cause I mean, you're super awesome. But do you feel like you're like maybe close to like where Leo's at and Mr. Mace Man and all of them, or like, you know what I mean? Like, or do you feel like humble about it? And you're just like, nah, I just left Mace, you know?
I don't know. I think in my trip to America, I realized a few things. Like I was further than I thought I was.
Yeah.
So at the moment, like Leo told me once, like, "Hey, you're one of the best in the world," and I was like, "Right." Like, huh.
You're like me?
Yeah. Like, but in America, it means more because in America, people around me actually knew what it was, so it meant much more to them. Like if I flow here on like in a park, people just see me, you know, twirling around like a stick, and they're like, "Yeah, he's just twirling around a stick." They don't see the difference between somebody who just started with a mace and somebody who actually practices with it. So they don't know the separation, right? So you only have that via Instagram. So when you actually meet real people, like on the honor certification, I met some very cool people. Like they were really inspired and say, "Oh man, I love your videos and thank you so much." And I'm like, "Whoa, man!" So many people like complimenting on that. So right. That kind of made a shift in me. Like I was maybe further, or even like it sounds a little bit strange, but like it kind of grew my perspective of where things were going. You know?
Yeah.
So I adapted that to into my vision. Like, oh.
Yeah.
I should make more work out of it.
Well, that's why I invited you on here, because I'm like, he needs to get on a podcast. Like, did you really, because you had mentioned that this was your first one. Is this really your first podcast or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. That's freaking awesome. That's awesome. See, yeah, I just feel like, you know, I wanted to give all of you guys like a platform where you guys can just, you know, we can all come together and just talk mace. It's so cool. And it's like, and that's why I invited you, man. Like, yeah, you're like awesome. I hope you. I hope you.
I remember seeing, you know, the first videos of you, like the first, and there was like back when I'm not even sure when you started the podcast.
Ooh,
like,
a year ago, I think.
Oh, a year ago. Okay. Then my memory is correct that I saw the first podcast coming, like with Mr. Mace Man and Leo, and I was like, Yeah, that's a goal. I should be on the podcast one day.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. I saw like these big names, and I was like, yeah, if I could be between those guys, and yeah, that would be pretty cool.
And it's funny because like a lot of people that I'm approaching now are just like people where I'm like, are they gonna say yes or are they gonna say no? It's like a rejection thing. Like maybe I fear rejection, but I'm just like, you know, now I'm like more confident to like actually reach out to everyone. And now I know like everyone's really fucking cool and kick ass. And like, so that's why like everyone's just kind of coming along on the podcast slowly, you know, but yeah, I had my eye on you from the very beginning, dude, especially with all those videos you put on YouTube.
Oh, you saw them on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I heard about you. Actually, when I first started getting into Mace, it was all about YouTube. I didn't even know people were on Instagram yet.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. So that's...
I think I already started on YouTube then. Yeah, YouTube is a strange thing, you know?
It's, yeah.
I had like 500 Instagram followers. So it was like, I did my YouTube thing and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to promote it. And a week from now, I have like 300 followers on YouTube, something like that.
Yeah. But
then, like a week later, I had like 12. And I was like, huh? It's gonna take a while.
Yeah. It's like I'm super excited for you and to see like where you go with all of this. Like, honestly, like I wish you the best. Now, where can people find you? Like, and what services do you provide and stuff like that? Because obviously, you're a coach. You know.
Yeah, so my first workshop is coming. That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
I'm hosting a workshop here in the Netherlands, like the 2nd of June.
Okay.
Like to introduce people like from around to the Mace and like and even like people coming from Belgium and other countries as well. So that's pretty cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. So I do personal training, I do group training, and I also do online training, so people can reach out to me like whenever, wherever they are, and we figure out a time, and you know, I can help you with your exercises, whatever you want.
Wow, that's awesome. Now going back to the workshop, how would people sign up for that? Do they just hit you up, or can they sign up through your website?
Well, yeah, they can of course hit me up, and my website is functionalheartbeats.com.
Okay.
No, the heartbeats is HARBEATS, so it's not heartbeats.
Yeah.
And you can sign up through there, or you can just give a shout out and give me a DM or whatever you want.
Right.
And so that's pretty cool thing that's coming up.
Okay.
Awesome. There's also the possibility of me coming to US again to host some workshops there.
Yes, come near me, please. Like, be so. Yeah, it's because it's like every time there's a really awesome workshop, it's either in the East Coast or it's like somewhere far, like in Cali. And I'm like, it sucks because I'm like right in between like everyone. And so, I don't know. Maybe we can talk.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, because I'm from Arizona. Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, like, I have to figure it out, and but you know, once I know that the idea is in my head, it's not coming out. So I have to do it anyway, even though there's like the fear of like, oh, it's somewhere I'm not really familiar to, you know.
I
know a lot of people now in the US, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty excited. Cool. Yeah, you put it out in the universe, man. It's gonna.
Yeah. Happen. Yeah. Exactly. That's the way I think about it too. That's also the way I move through fear. You know, you put it in the universe, and you know, it's when it's fearful, you gotta go for it. You know, because there's a reason. It's there's a fear for it.
Right.
And
it's a good thing. Fear is a good thing.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
And to learn and. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on here. I like, thank you for saying yes. Like, I'm always really excited that when guests come on and they turn out being super as awesome as I thought in my head.
Right? So, yeah.
I hope that, you know, the listeners really enjoy it and they learned a little bit about you and your story, and like, hopefully go to one of your workshops. Cause obviously I have a lot of you as listeners like later on.
I hope so too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. All right. Well, thank you, and may the universe always flow with you.
Thank you so much, Victoria.
Yes.